Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Lamed Zayin, Sota 37a, pagination is 73. We're starting from the Gemara towards the top of the page, about the seventh line. A description of Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, at the time of the Exodus from Mitzrayim. The Gemara tells us regarding that moment when the Jews were trapped between the Yam Suf, the Reed Sea, and the Mitzrayim, their taskmasters who were chasing them to retrieve their slaves. Ze omer einani yored techila layam. One group of the Jews said, I'm not going to be the first one in to the water. And likewise, the other group said, I'm not going to be the first one in. And they were extremely hesitant to proceed into the water. Nachshon ben Aminadav, to the tribe of Yehuda, went into the water, he jumped into the water with determination, and he was the first one in. And this is what the Gemara on the previous page referred to, Yehuda Shekide Shem Shamayim Befarhesya, Yehuda, who sanctified Hashem's name in public, the tribe of Yehuda went into the water, Nikra Kulo Al Shemo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their entire name is embedded with Hashem's name. The Yud, then the He, then the Vav, then the He. The entire name of Yehuda has Hashem's signature, so to speak, within the name. Ba'osa Sha'a, the Gemara tells us, at that same time, Haya Moshe Ma'arich Betfila. Moshe was davening a lengthy prayer. The entire Jewish people that he just redeemed was in terrible danger. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Yedidai tovim bayam, my beloved ones are drowning in the water. Va'ata ma'arich batfila lefanai, and you're saying lengthy prayers? It appears that before the command to travel was given, as we'll see in a few lines, Nachshon jumped in. Nachshon jumped in without a command that he's supposed to go in, and the different people were arguing, I don't want to be the first one in. Apparently, intuitively, they knew that the water's got to split. They knew that somehow they're going to make headway and they're going to move forward. So Nachshon is already in the water. There are those that went with him, apparently. And in the plural, Yedidai tovim bayam, my beloved ones are already struggling in the water. It's not the time for lengthy prayer. Amar Lefanov, Moshe said, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Uma Biyadi Lasos, what else can I do? I have no recourse, I have nothing to do, so I'm davening, I'm praying. If there was something I could do, I would certainly do it. A general principle that we have, that Hashem sometimes gives us the gift already, and we have to go ahead and use whatever resources He has already given us. So we pray to make it clear that it's from Hashem, and then we proceed and do. But Moshe says, I'm at a loss. There's nothing humanly, I don't know anything I can do. Amar lo, Hashem said to him, Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u, go tell the people they should travel. And again, it appears, Nachshon jumped in without a specific command that he should travel into the water. He did it as an act of faith that he knew that Hashem was going to find a solution for them. Va'ata, And you, Hare Mismatcha, lift your staff, your stick, Unateyas Yadcha, and stretch out your arm, Vigomer. Lefikach, it is because of this incident as well that Zacha Yehuda la'asos memshala b'Yisrael, Yehuda became kings. They were worthy of being leaders and having dominion. Shenemar haisa Yehuda lekadsho, Yehuda became kadosh, holy. Yisrael mamshalosav, and the Jewish people are their dominion. They are the rulers, the monarchy of the Jewish people. Mata'am haisa Yehuda lekadsho, v'Yisrael mamshalosav. Why indeed did they become so holy and the Jewish people are their dominion? Mishum dahayam ra'a vayanos. Because of that moment when the sea saw and fled, it split. On the concept of Moshe davening a lengthy tefillah, so it's very interesting that in Shir HaShirim, the prayer at the sea is highlighted in the pasuk, Harini es mar'ayich, Hashmi'ini es kolich. Hashem says, show me your true appearance. Let me hear your voice. And Rashi tells us that's at the moment when the Jewish people are trapped. How do they react, Hashem asks. If they turn to me, then I know that ultimately their loyalty is with me. But since the entire Jewish people was in danger, it's not the time for lengthy prayer. A lengthy prayer is something that you're trying to convince. You're trying to change Hashem's mind, kaviyachal. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, davened hundreds of tefillos that he should be allowed to enter the land of Israel, to reverse the ruling. That's ma'arich betfilo, to daven lengthy. But if the entire Jewish people is in danger, then the purpose of prayer is simply that you have to do a prayer to make it clear that when the salvation comes, it came from Hashem and you're cognizant of that. But it doesn't need a lengthy prayer. A short prayer would suffice for that. And we have different prayers that are known to have been short. Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer for his sister was discreetly short, so that people shouldn't say that he fended more with nepotism for his sister. He simply said, Kelna refana la, please heal her. It was a very short prayer. We also have a little bit longer, but fairly brief, the Yehiratzon of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It's part of our tefillah, printed in art scroll, Machzor of Yom Kippur, page 570. V'kach haya Omer, this was the text of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, but he kept it short because the people were waiting for him and were worried about him. Likewise, if a person is traveling and is in a position where they can't concentrate properly on prayer, so the Gemara specifically gives us a formula, Tzorchei amcha merubim v'daitam kitzorah. The needs of your nation are great, and their intelligence is limited. We're not even sure what to ask for and how to articulate our prayers. So goes the prayer. Yehi Ratzon, may it be your will that you give each person as they need. So that's the balance of a long prayer, short prayer, to be aware of that. Now, in order to facilitate this miracle, our Gemara outlines four things that had to happen. And I believe that these play themselves out, albeit in a more natural form, but they play themselves out whenever we have a miraculous success in Jewish living or Jewish community. One step is Nachshon. There's got to be somebody who's willing to jump in, so to speak, to take responsibility against logical decision-making. It's not something that's all thought out It's an act of passion, an act of faith, and it breaks the barriers of nature when a person proceeds in that way. Of course, there's got to be a plan A, a plan B. Person has to know how they're handling the situation to act responsibly, but a person proceeds with faith that Hashem will help. There is hishtadlus, a person's effort, because Hashem asks us, did you do yours? But preceding the hishtadlus is Moshe's tefillah, a prayer, an awareness that Hashem is in charge and Hashem can get us through this. But Hashem says, you succeeded in tefillah. It's not the time to do longer. Now it's the time to take the resources that you have and to proceed. Moshe didn't even understand that he had resources. But put one foot in front of the other, Hashem says, V'yiso, travel into the water. That is within your power, and I'll do the rest. And a fourth item, very often, some sort of act that is the catalyst, at least appears to be the catalyst for the miracle, is done by the prophet, by the religious leader, by the person of faith. Moshe lifts his stick, and at that moment, Hashem makes the sea split, responding, so to speak, to the action of the person, action done in the physical world. And we find that sometimes great people, holy people, do something in the physical world that honestly may or may not have anything to do with the real miracle and interceding on someone's behalf, but we find that they nevertheless have something done in the physical world. At the very least, it's symbolic, but it makes an impact. There's a story with the stipler who was consulted about a fetus that was not sitting properly in the mother and it was endangering in the ninth month the probability of a healthy birth. And the stipler said that they should go through the house and look at all the svarim and see if any of them are upside down. Because if any of them are upside down, they should turn them right side up and the child will be helped. And indeed, they found one of the svarim was upside down. They turned it right side up and the birth was healthy one. It's not so clear that flipping the sefer right side up is ultimately what did it. But the stipler's tefillah and bracha, coupled by an act in the world, could do that. Likewise, the stipler sometimes told people that they should use vitamins, and he recommended the exact regimen of vitamins that he wanted them to do. But in the world of estimation, the world of medicine, it's not so probable that it was the vitamins alone that got a sick person a recovery. But sometimes we find that these different steps have to be implemented, even if they're not overt miracles like splitting of the Red Sea, but they're nevertheless steps in a process of the way Hashem runs his world. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.